the Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us.
Spirit, when you move, you make my heart beat. feel like my faith has increased the more that we sang that song, that bridge into that chorus. Let's sing that chorus one more time. And where you're lacking faith this morning, pray that the Lord would increase your faith, that He would show you that He is all powerful.
My name's Anika, and I serve on our worship team. We're so glad you could join us this morning. When you walked into the service, you were handed a program. Inside, you can find upcoming events and special announcements. To find more ways to get connected here at Harvest Time, scan the QR code at the bottom of your program. Here, you can find links, send in prayer requests, or fill out a connection card if you're new here. July 4th, we're launching our summer schedule with a barbecue picnic after the 10:30 service. For July through August, our new summer morning service times will be 9 and 10:30. Vacation Bible School is also just right around the corner, and it's not too late to register your kids or sign up to be a volunteer. Check out this video to see what it's all about.
A priceless treasure. God knows me, God hears me, God is my comfort. I am His and there's nothing better. Forgiven and chosen forever. I am a treasure.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad that you've come to worship the Lord with us today. Didn't our worship team do a great job leading us this morning? Vacation Bible School is coming upon us at the end of the month, one of the funnest weeks of the whole year here at Harvest Time Church. And if you have kids, or if there are kids in your orbit, I want to encourage you to bring them. You know what? We have so many people who come to Harvest Time and they tell us, you know, when I was a kid, somebody invited me to a vacation Bible school and I prayed a prayer and asked Jesus into my heart and I didn't have support at home. I didn't have anybody at home to encourage me that. But later on in my teen years or my adult years, I found Jesus. And I know it's because of that prayer I prayed all those years ago. So I want to tell you, the faith of children is a powerful, powerful thing. And I want to encourage you to be part of Vacation Bible School this year. We want to thank you for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church, and we want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving. Your tithe is the first 10% of what the Lord has entrusted to you. God says in his word, bring the whole tithe into my house. We want to thank you for supporting the work of missions, the spread of the gospel here at home and all around the world. We support on a monthly basis over 60 missionaries and missions organizations, and your giving to missions on a regular basis throughout the year helps us to keep the gospel going. There is an offering envelope in your program today you can use to give. The ushers are going to come and receive an offering from us. This is the first time, I was telling our guests, this is the first time in a year we've passed the offering plate since COVID. So it's nice to be waking up again from COVID. Some people like to give by text. Information for that is on the screen behind me. For those worshiping online, we welcome you. We're glad you've joined us online today. And you can give online at our website, htchurch.com. Just click on the giving link on the top of the homepage. King David wrote, "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion over everything he's made. All your works praise you, Lord, and your saints bless you." That's what we've come to do this morning, to bless God with our songs of worship and with our offerings, our sacrifices. He says, "Your saints speak of the glory of your kingdom, they talk of your power, and they make known to all people your mighty deeds." You know what? That's what we've been doing these last couple days with Dr. Randy Clark and our friends from Global Awakening. We've been talking about the power of the kingdom, but we've been doing more than just talking about it. We've been making it known, and we've been experiencing wonderful touches from the Lord. Just before the ushers come, a couple quick announcements for you. We had our annual report this last Wednesday evening. We want to thank Dr. Sunil Rana and our friend Ed Trask. They have just completed 6 years of service on our board of deacons and trustees. So we are so grateful to them, and we are delighted to welcome Dr. Robin Varhees, Dr. G.C. Choa, and our friend Brad Apelgren back onto our board again. And so if you see any of these men, just thank them so much for their service to our congregation. And then just to remind you, we are going to a summer schedule on Sunday morning, July the 4th, 9 o'clock and 10:30 a.m. We'll go to two services. And since that first Sunday falls on July 4th, we're going to have a church picnic after the second service that day. And we're going to have a great time, and we hope that you'll be with us. Going to ask the ushers to come to wait on us. Thank you for honoring the Lord today with your gifts. Let's just give thanks to the Lord as we give back to him. Father, thank you that you lavished your very best on us in Jesus. You didn't withhold the best that you had. You offered him up for us freely. Freely we've received, so freely we give back to you today with glad and sincere hearts, tithes, offerings, missions giving. Father, I pray you'd bless these loaves and fishes. Cause them to multiply to be more than enough to meet the need of this your house and the work of your kingdom all around the world. If your heart agrees with that, would you say amen and amen? God bless you while you give. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. Well, we have had just a wonderful 3 days with our friend Dr. Randy Clark and with the team from Global Awakening. How many of you have been here for some of the meetings? Let me see your hands nice and high. How many of you have received a touch from the Lord during these meetings? So praise God. You know, I received a healing the last time Dr. Clark was here from plantar fasciitis. The Lord really wonderfully healed me. My aunt was watching on Friday evening from Tulsa, and somebody had a word of knowledge about God healing knees, and she just received it. And Saturday morning, she sent me a message. She said, my knees are healed. She said, the pain is gone from my knees. Our sister Wilma Reyes sent me a testimony this morning. She was watching on Friday evening, and somebody had a word of knowledge about healing in the right knee, and she received a healing touch in her right knee. So here's the wonderful thing about Jesus. No matter how many healings he does, he still has just as much power to heal again. Do you know that? So if you've come with a need today, I want to tell you, Jesus has just as much power to heal the need that you have in your body. I want to welcome our dear friend, Bishop Drew Williams, is with us today. God bless you, dear Drew. Drew pastored Trinity Church here in Greenwich for 12 years, and we were great friends. I have to say, during Drew's ministry time here, he really was just the most influential spiritual leader in our city. God used him in beautiful ways. He's now the bishop for New England for the Anglican churches of North America. And when I heard what Dr. Randy had to say yesterday morning about bishops, I texted Drew. And I said, Drew, I don't know why I didn't have the presence of mind to insist that you come this weekend. And so he got in his, he lives all the way on the Massachusetts-New Hampshire border. And he got in his car and drove all the way down here this morning to be with us. And Drew, we're so delighted to have you. Dr. Randy Clark is the founder of Global Awakening Ministries, travels all around the world, sharing the good news of Jesus with signs and wonders, following healing miracles. He is the author of over 40 books. I don't know whether, hopefully there's a few selections, few titles left on the book table. If there aren't, I urge you, go to the Global Awakening Ministry website and check out the amazing resources that they have. They have a supernatural school of ministry where they train people, not only in theology, but in being used by the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that these men who have come have just poured and poured and poured into us this weekend. At the end of the service today, there's an extra offering envelope in your bulletin. And at the end of the service today, we're going to have an opportunity to just bless them back and just express our love, our appreciation and gratitude, our hospitality to them for the beautiful ministry they've shared. I know you're all cozy in your seat, but it wouldn't be right. Would you stand on your feet and let's give our best welcome for our friend, Dr. Randy Clark.
Well, I've enjoyed being with you once again and being here this weekend. It's been a good time. And thank you for those of you who are able to participate and for those who weren't able to participate, maybe you can get recordings. I think they did recordings of it. I asked permission to Glenn's, Pastor Glenn, can I switch sermons? He said, yeah, do what you want. It's just hard for me to preach the same sermon twice in a row. It's more exciting to be able to switch and preach something different, and so I wanted to do it. So if you liked what I preached last time, you can get it, they'll have it, and tell the other people in the second service that they can get the third one, and because they are going to be very different. Last time I taught about the power of the testimony, and this morning in this third service, I want to speak to you about four kinds of faith. And the last message was basically based upon a few stories. This is as well, four different stories, but all of them are in Mark's gospel. So once you get to Mark, you don't have to leave it, and it makes it easy if you turn to the gospel of Mark. The first time I preached this message ever, I was in Ango, India, and it was the most spiritual warfare I'd ever been in my life. I felt like I was going crazy. It was so bad, I went on a water fast the whole time I was there, over a week, just because of the spiritual warfare. Now, I never had that again. All the other trips to India, never felt that ever again, but that first trip was like that. But when I would step into the pulpit, I never felt so much anointing for preaching and ministry and hearing from God as that first trip. And we went to where the American Baptists had started their work there in Angol. The first night we had 25,000 people. The second night we had 50,000 people. The third night we had 100,000. And I was going to preach this message on the third night. And as I'm getting ready to preach the message, I'm taken back in my memory to a picture. I'm with Omar Cabrera Jr., and his mother is in Buenos Aires, and she keeps saying to the people, at least four times in the service, she said, I want you to stand and repeat this prayer after me. I want every one of you to repeat this prayer after me. And she had said, and everybody in the place would repeat it. I leaned over to Omar Jr., and I said, is everybody here a Christian? Your mother keeps telling everybody to pray. He said, no, they're not all Christians. That's my mom's strategy. She believes if she can get people praying to God for helping them with their finances, helping them with their health, helping with all these other, it's easier to get them at the end to pray to Jesus to be forgiven. And so that's where my mind went to, just out, and I knew that the Lord wants me to do something there. And I felt like the Lord was saying, every one of these stories, you're going to have them pray twice. Now, time will not allow us to do that today. We're only going to pray once for each story. But it was like if they had the exact condition or if their level of faith was the level of faith I was talking about. Either way, they would stand in two different groups. Today, I will put it all into the same group. If you have that condition or if you have that level of faith, you'll stand and I'm going to pray for you, and I believe that people are going to be healed during the service. It's not like we'll get to the end of the service, we'll have a time of healing. It's more as we're going through the message, the actual times of healing will occur during the message. There won't be long times of prayer either. And so having gotten that sense, that's what I'm going to do. I've never done that before. I do want to report that it's often easier to see people get healed amongst unbelievers than it is amongst believers who, in certain places in the United States, they've actually been trained in unbelief. Actually, I have a book that Bill Johnson and I wrote together, and one of my chapters, Why Are There Unbelieving Believers and Believing Unbelievers? And it's basically because of what was taught from the pulpit and also the colleges and seminaries. As I'm getting ready to share this, I know what I'm going to do, and it's the first time it happened. We had 50,000 people out of the 100,000 get healed that night, and 30,000 of them accepted Jesus. It was amazing. I'm thinking, that's almost more people than I've had to get at that time, like 20 years ago. That's as many people as I've seen get saved almost in my whole ministry at that time. And it was so exciting. Did you ever have a meeting that was so exciting you had to take Ambien to go to sleep when you got home? I've had some of those. This was one of those types. So anyway, I realized that only a small percentage of the people were Christian. Most of them were Hindu, and maybe 10-15% were Muslim, and some Christian. But the Christians were a minority. And we'd paid a lot of money to be able to buy rent trucks and go out and into the villages and bring in the poor, particularly the poor. And as I began to preach, I felt like the Lord wanted to make a hook at the end to move it from healing to evangelism. And so I felt like I said, anytime you see somebody standing up in this meeting, waving their hands like this, they're warning you that you're on the way to death, and they're warning you that Jesus is the way to life. When you see somebody doing it, they're not only doing that, they're also saying, Jesus Christ just healed my body. And that is the proof that the message I'm giving you, that he is the Son of God and he is the way to heaven and he is the way to have eternal life, is true, is what you see. And if God doesn't heal anybody, then don't believe what I'm saying. Because I had no doubt at all that there was going to be a lot of people get healed. And then I felt like the emphasis needed to be on presence. And so I said, I want you to know, I believe that as I'm preaching, this Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, is going to be here in our midst. And wherever he goes, he heals people. And as he comes into our midst, and there really is, I think, if we only got this. The Lord woke me up one morning after we'd had a really powerful Sunday morning worship time. It's the most powerful we had ever had in the history of the church I'd started. And the Lord woke me up, and I don't wake up early, and I don't wake up fast. I wake up slow. I woke up wide awake instantly, which is not normal. Had my attention. And I heard the Lord say, I want you to know that when my presence is in your midst in worship, so is my power to heal. It was like, I want you to make a connection between presence and healing. When I'm present to bless, strengthen, save, and heal. That's what I do. That's my character. It's what I want to do. Sometimes what we expect is what puts the limitation on what happens, is our understanding and our expectation. So I was trying to help these Hindus and Muslims to understand something about the Christian God. And I said, and I believe that you're going to see people get healed in his name. And would have got to the end, because I'm not going to do this today, because I'm not assuming that most of you are not Christian. I'm assuming the other. But when we got to the end, which ended with a blind guy, in the scripture, a blind man being healed, I said, you know, there's something worse than being physically blind. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament said that if we do not respond to the gospel, it's because the God of this world has blinded you. Because the enemy, the devil, has blinded you. And so I said, I'm going to pray right now that those blinders will come off, so that when I start to give this invitation, the blinders will be off and you'll be able to understand and sense him drawing you and be able to see the truth. And it was an amazing response. Well, I'm not going to go there, but I do want you to tell you that for those of you who may want to use a message like this, it does have a nice little hook that you can go to evangelism at the end if you're in a place where there's a lot of unsaved people. Because I do believe that one of the major reasons for signs and wonders is to convict people who don't know Jesus to have faith in Jesus. That healing and miracles do not prove, their purpose is not to prove correct doctrine. Healing and miracles is part of the gospel. They are part and parcel of the good news. And we don't fully represent the good news when we don't include that. And so it's not like this is to prove correct doctrine. No, this is part of the gospel. This is part of the good news. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Healing is possible because the kingdom contains the power of God to heal. So when we begin in the message, I wanted to talk about, it's all about presence. And I'm told three stories. First one, my friend in Mozambique, Heidi Baker, she and a friend of mine was preaching out in the field, and there was the church was gathered out in the field, and around them were Muslims. And they were Muslim clerics, Muslim ridiculers, mockers. They were mocking them. Witchcraft people, animist people. And they're surrounded around the church, just kind of trying to bother the church. And as they were in worship, all of a sudden, the glory cloud of God that was visible, literally not, you could see it by faith, you could see it, came down over, and so bright that Mark DuPont, who's a prophetic guy, was so freaked out by it. He said, Heidi, I can't see to read the scripture now. It's been so bright. I want you preach. And so Heidi gets up, and she said, when the glory cloud came on, nobody could stand up. Not just the church, the Muslim clerics, the witch doctors, nobody could stand under, in the glory. Everybody was on their face. And when that cloud lifted, there weren't any Muslims left. Everybody in the presence of glory just were born again. Everybody. Which I think is an interesting answer between Calvin and Arminius. Arminius is right that we can resist God when we're not in the glory. And Calvin is right. When we're in the glory, who would ever want to resist God? It's just irresistible. The presence and glory of God is my opinion. I'm a little bit facetious on that, but I just want to throw it out. So one time I had three interns with me, and we were in North Carolina. And as I was preaching, somebody stood up right over there and said, "Do you see it?" It's at nighttime. And I got bright lights on me, so I can't see anything. But I noticed my three interns right on the front row, that is their first time to ever go with me on a trip, they prostrated themselves. They just threw themselves on the floor, spread eagle like that. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And the people are looking and stuff. So I came down here, and then I can see from the ceiling down to about knee high is a cylinder about this big that looked like, on a hot day, if you look through across the land, you see this, those waves coming off. You know, you've ever seen a really hot day when you can see through them, but you can see them. It was like that, but there's a whole pillar. And it was like there was a Milky Way made out of gold and silver color and green, blue, and some of them would light up and radiate. And I'm standing because, you know, I was almost felt like I almost got killed once by the power of God. So I'm not so eager to touch that. But I'm looking at it, but I got taken with it out of curiosity. So I thought, I'll try. And so it didn't shock me. So I stepped into the middle of it. I'm in the middle of it. I tell you, I've never felt so much peace. I forgot I was leading the meeting for a while. I was just taken with it and tried to touch it, and it'd move. And long story short, because I don't want to focus on that, but long story short, the guy right here, it was right here. Say, I'm in the middle of it, and there was a guy right here. This guy's one of the oldest guys in the church. He fought in the Korean War. And afterwards, he yells to the pastor, "Pastor John, I can hear you. I went deaf in Korea for I was in the artillery, and it caused me to go deaf. That's why I sleep on Sunday morning. I can't hear anything. But I can hear now. My hearing's been..." Nobody prayed for him. Why did he get healed? Just proximity to presence. So we went for healing, and we counted it, like this side of the church and this side of the church. There was more than twice as many healings that happened over here than on that side. What was the difference? Proximity to presence. And then all of a sudden, they start getting smart, and they start moving over to this side. But it was the presence of God. There's healing in the presence of God, the glory, that sense. And I was with, and Pastor Glenn knows this guy. He's a professor at Assemblies of God Seminary, Doug Oss. And I was with him, and he told me he was in a meeting once at Assembly God Church right around 1995. It was after Toronto had happened, and it was after Pensacola had happened, just a few months. And they were at this meeting. He said, "Randy, the glory, the presence of God's glory came in that church, and we had like scores of healings just started popping like popcorn. I'm healed. I can see. I can hear. But we're not praying for anybody. It was just the presence of God's glory." There's something better than the gifts of God, the glory of God. So anyway, our focus is today, I believe, is He wants to be with us, and it's on His presence. So I want to begin. Our first text is in Mark chapter 9 and beginning in verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. And as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he said. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit and has robbed him of speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. I'd like to suggest when we've had so many disappointments, it actually causes to become hard to believe. We need to have the experiences of seeing people get healed. And I'd like to just say this man's unbelief is partially related to the inability of the disciples of Jesus to set his son free. And that disillusionment was making it harder for him to believe. But they could not. Jesus said, verse 19, O unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the crowd running at the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and he came out. And the boy looked so much like a corpse that many people said he's dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. In our culture, we think that all the demons still live in Africa or South America. But two of the leading leaders of the Baptist Convention of Argentina said, I tell you what, America's got a lot of demons in them. But you've given them names. You have psychoanalyzed and given names to your demons. If there's a country that's addicted, it's an addicted country. It is in America. We have so much brokenness and so much. And to say that we don't have is pride of our own culture. So I want to share with you that this is not mythology. This passage does not need to be demythologized. This is reality then, and it's reality now. There are still demonic powers in the world. I was in St. Louis, and I was praying for a woman who was in a home group we were having, and she was a Catholic lady that was visiting because the host was Catholic in our church. We had a lot of Catholics in our church. About 50% had a Catholic background. And so this woman, she said, I've got this terrible shoulder pain. It wakes me up two or three times a night. I can't sleep because my shoulder hurts so bad. We started to pray for her shoulder. As soon as we began to pray, within seconds, it's gone. I got excited. And then within a few more seconds, she said, it's back. It's in my neck. We prayed again. A few seconds. It's gone. A few seconds later. Maybe half a minute later, it's back. It's in my right shoulder, starting the left one. We prayed again, went to her elbow. We prayed again, it went to her wrist. We prayed again, it left. 16 years later, when we were leaving to come to Pennsylvania to relocate, I met the woman again. She had never had that shoulder problem again. It was not a natural cause. It was not tendon. It was not cartilage. It was not a pinched nerve. It really was an afflicting spirit. When you pray for somebody and the pain gets worse immediately or moves, it's almost always an afflicting spirit. I had this thing, if you spot them, you got them. So it was in America. It wasn't in Africa. It was in St. Louis, Missouri. I was in Norway, at Bergen, Norway, and I had two Methodist seminarians that had been taught liberal theology that demons don't really exist, Jesus just condescended to the first century worldview, and if he was living today, he'd use psychoanalysis, and we would say that this was emotional illness or mental illness or something like that. And that's what they had been taught. And I was taught the same thing in seminary, by the way, except all of my views like that, I got delivered of those views when I had my first deliverance and saw someone getting set free. All my doubts about the demons, I got delivered from them. So I'm praying, and this guy has been disabled for 23 years. He's been disabled because he gets these really sharp pains that comes through his lungs, and the doctors can't figure out and diagnose why he has it. But he's been disabled for 23 years. The moment we start to pray, I always begin assuming it's not demonic. I always begin assuming it's a natural cause. There's another cause, and I don't think there's a demon under every bush. And I really don't trust anybody that their ministry is called. My ministry is deliverance, because they're going to think everything's a demon. It's naive to think everything's a demon. It's also naive to think nothing can ever be a demon. Both are naive positions. Anyway, I'm speaking to the condition. I said, I command in Jesus. And when I said in Jesus, I didn't even get name out. The guy went, ah! I turned around and I looked at those two seminarians. And I said, watch this. If you spot them, you got them. And I turned around. Now I'm not praying to the condition. Now I'm not praying about his lungs. Now I'm praying about his spirit. I said, in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, I break your power. I cancel your assignment, and I command you to lift off this man now. And the guy, it was an easy deliverance. It was gone. That pastor came, met me in Philadelphia. Sometime later, we're doing a 30-days meeting in Philadelphia at a big church there. And he said, that man, it was like 8 years before now, he's never had a pain since then. He got totally off of disability, was able to go back to work. It was an afflicting spirit. It was where the Lutherans had started their work in India. We were doing a meeting in that city. It was a big meeting. There's scores of thousands of people there. And I noticed this man came in, and he came in not by taxi or not by a little rickshaw. He came in being carried on the back of a friend. Literally, he was so poor, he didn't have the little bit of money to even rent a rickshaw. So his friend is carrying him, he's Hindu, being carried into the meeting on his friend's back. Turns out he can't touch his feet to the ground because his feet hurt so bad. If they touch to the ground, it's excruciating pain. I'm assuming it's neuropathy, probably related to diabetes. I'm assuming a natural cause. I start to pray, and at the end of the meeting, we're praying for the sick. As I'm praying, he says, he's sitting in a seat because he can't touch his feet to the floor. So I'm praying for his feet, and he said, "The pain is moving." I said, "Where's it going?" He said, "It's coming up my legs." I said, "Where's it at now?" He said, "It's at my knees." So we prayed again. Now we're praying against the spirit. We prayed again. He said, "It's going." I said, "Where's it going?" "It's going up to my hips." So we prayed again, and as we prayed, it went to one side, and we prayed again, and then it went down to one knee, and we prayed again. It went down to one foot, and we prayed again, and it left. And then he gets up and walks without any pain whatsoever. And he was really ready to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior, because he had met him as his healer first. It touched his heart, and he walked home that night. There are different degrees. The word possessed is not really about in the Greek text. It's the word demonized, transliterated as demonized, meaning from a little bit of influence to a lot of influence. People can be influenced. Now, if you have anything wrong with you that you think might be caused by an afflicting spirit, because it seems like when you've been prayed for, it gets worse. And if you don't know that, that can be discouraging. You're praying for them to get healed and they get worse, and you think it's a sign of your lack of anointing. when it's really a sign of the strength of your anointing that's causing that which has been hidden now to come into the light. And when you understand that, you don't back away. You realize, oh, we need to really go for this. This is really encouraging. So maybe you've been prayed for, and the person said, I prayed for you. You just got worse. Maybe you have these something that you think might be related to an afflicting spirit. The difference between being demonized of the dealing with the soul, which is the will and the emotion, and having an afflicting spirit, it's related to it's affecting the body, and it's the very different way of doing deliverance. Just authority alone is enough. So if you think this might be an issue, it moves, go ahead and stand up. If nobody stands up, that's fine. If somebody does stand up, that's fine. But I want to go to the next level. You do not think your problem is caused by an afflicting spirit, but the level of your faith, you identify with this man. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's where you say, that's where my faith's at. My faith, I identify with that guy. I do believe, but I'm aware I've got a lot of unbelief mixed with my belief. And if you say, that's where my level of faith is, and you need healing for something, and it doesn't have to be afflicting spirit at all, just something. It's either this issue of afflicting spirit or the level of your faith is this level, then I'm going to ask you to stand up and join those who's already standing for that we can be healing, because you identify with this. This is the place of your faith. I want you to pay attention to your body. I want to pray for you, and then I want you to check your body out really fast, and then if you see that there's God's healing you, you're being healed, you're getting better, things are changing, I want you to wave your hand at me like that. Father, I just thank you in the name of Jesus, and we pray that his presence here would just effect healing in our midst. And we come against any spirit of affliction. Lord, any spirit of affliction, like the woman is blind, it was a spirit of affliction. We prayed for her, and then you showed us as a spirit of affliction. She got her sight. In Jesus' name, we come against any spirit of affliction. We break your power, cancel your assignment, and command you to lift off in Jesus' name. And Father, for those who stood up, they don't think it's a spirit of affliction, but they have a physical need. And they have faith, but they have a mixture of also unbelief. I bless them. And I pray that you would encourage their faith. And I speak to their physical problems. And I pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would touch them. And their pain and their limitation would begin to be lifted in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. I thank you in advance. Amen. Now, check, before you sit down, check things out. And if you said, man, I can tell things are changing. I'm getting better. I'm in the process of being healed. I can sense something, maybe felt something lifted off of you. Maybe there is literally a difference in your physical condition. I want you to wave a hand at me. I'm asking if you're at least 80% or I'm just saying something's happening. You are being touched, that you would just wave your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We pray that as this continues, because that's a very short time of prayer, but even during the whole sermon, the Spirit of God would continue to minister to you, and by the time we get to the end, the level of healing that you will have experienced will be higher than it is presently. You may be seated. So this man's thing, his level of faith is, if you can do anything, take pity on me and heal me. It was this little faith, if you can do anything. Now, when we turn to Mark chapter 1, and in verse 40, we come to the next level of faith, another kind of faith. This man's faith is, God, can you do anything? If you can do anything, take pity on him. That's not where he's at. He's at a different level. He's at a higher level of faith. We read about this man who's got leprosy in verse 40, just a few verses. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now see, this is a different level of faith. It's not about God's ability, it's about God's willingness. I was on a plane one time to Brazil, and I was reading this passage, and the Lord said, "I want you to tell my church I'm willing." So many people in my church doubt my willingness. They doubt my willingness. And I want you to tell my church that I am willing. So he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Different level of faith. I believe there's people here. That's where you're at. You believe more than if God can. You know God can, but you really struggle about, is it his will to touch you? If you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, who is the exemplification of the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, says, full of compassion, "I'm willing." Touches, instantly healed. I was down in a Baptist church in Brazil. It grew from 300 to 30,000 because of the power of the Holy Spirit that began to happen. It had been a traditional Baptist church. It got kicked out of the Baptist denomination when the Spirit of God fell. But anyway, that happens too. It's kind of like getting delivered. I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, this guy came up to me. He's on staff the first time we went there. And he has psoriasis. Psoriasis is genetic. It's not like other types of skin disease. It's a genetically caused condition where your skin is producing too many cells, which causes the white spots and things. I knew that. He came up to me and said, "I have psoriasis, really, really bad. Will you pray for me?" I prayed. And God healed him. First time I ever saw it. And I actually spoke. God erased the message that's given the wrong message and write a new message. So we speak to the DNA. We speak to the DNA. We speak to the chromosomes. We speak to the DNA, every cell. And we just give command, a new message to be written in Jesus' name. And next time I saw him, he had clean skin. Several years later, he brought another pastor, had a psoriasis. And he got healed. So I went back to my home church and in St. Louis at the time. And a woman in my church came up to me and said, "I have psoriasis. I've had it since I was a little girl. I can't remember not having it. The minimum of my skin that's covered with psoriasis is 20%. But there are times I've had 80% of my skin covered at one time with psoriasis. Do you think God can heal me?" I said, "Not only do I think God can, I believe it's his will to heal." And I remember praying for her, and I don't know why I said it, but I said, "I believe within 30 days your skin will be clean." And again, we spoke to the genetic condition. Long story short, 30 days later, she's getting ready to come to church. She looks in the mirror, yells for her daughter to come look at her body. There's one spot of psoriasis the size of the lead inside a number 2 lead pencil, just the lead. One small spot was all that was left. And she did remain healed. There's all types of skin diseases. I can't name them all, but there's a lot of skin diseases. If you have anything wrong with you, not just, I don't want to limit this to psoriasis, but this was leprosy. Was the word leprosy not only included what we know as leprosy, but it also included all forms of skin disorder. This one word covered them all. If you have a skin disorder of any type, I want you to stand. And anything wrong with the skin, I want you to stand. We're going to pray for that. Also, if this is the level of faith you have identified with, if this is the level of faith, you're not at if you can do anything. You really realize this is the big issue for you. I just struggle over whether it's God's will or not. And you need to be healed, but that's where you're at. That's the level of faith. I want you to stand up and join these. You may have nothing wrong with your skin, but you have a need of a healing, but this is the level of faith you have. Go ahead and stand up. Put your hand if it's somewhere else other than your skin, or if it's your skin, just you can do it like this, or put your hand where you need to be healed, if it's your back or whatever, kidneys or heart, whatever it is. Father, in Jesus' name, we declare that you are willing, so much more willing than what we believe. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would touch them. See, I'm not even asking you to do what I asked the Indians to do. I asked the Indians to repeat what they had said to Jesus, but we don't have time for that. I'm trying to shorten this. God, I bless them. And I pray in Jesus' name, the presence of your kingdom, your presence, come, touch them. We pray for the skin and whatever's wrong with the skin, that there would be healing released today to people who have skin disorders or problems of one kind or another. But we also pray for those that standing has nothing to deal with the skin, but they need healing, that they'd realize that you are willing. I ask for right now, today, as a sign of your glory and of your presence, of your kingdom, that your power would flow into their bodies. And at the end of this prayer, there'd be some that would already be healed and others that you're healing. And by the time we get to the end of the message, God, there'll be many more. In Jesus' name, I bless you. Now, check your body out real quick. Take about 20 seconds. Check your body out. And if you realize, I'm getting healed, I am better, my pain is less, my function is more, just wave a hand that, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. We believe it'll be more by the time we get to the end, because that is just such a short time of prayer. Now, we've gone from if you can do anything, take pity on him, to if you're willing, you can, to now, we had two men. Now we're getting to a woman. We're finally going to get to some really good faith. Our third story is in Mark chapter 5, verse 24. And I used this story in the last message. And John 5, 24 through 29. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and all, and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she was worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Her issue was a blood issue, problem with the blood. Her level of faith was much higher than if you can do anything, take pity on us and heal me. Much higher than if you're willing, you can heal me. Her faith is, if I can just touch you, I'll be healed. It's great faith. If you're here today and you have something wrong with your blood of any kind, whether it's leukemia or sickle cell anemia or high blood pressure, low blood pressure, anything dealing with the blood, anything that's a blood-borne disease, I'd like for you to stand up. Now, if your level of faith is where this woman's is, if I today touch his presence, I'm going to get healed. You have really strong faith. Go ahead, stand up, regardless of what you need the healing for. If this is where you are, I ask that you would stand. I want to pray for you. Wish we had time to tell the stories of people who pressed in like this. I had a woman who pressed in who had Parkinson's. And she pressed in, and I said, I don't want to pray for anybody now. This is the time. This is the only night I'm not praying for the sick. Go up and let my team pray for you. She said, no, you have to pray for me. God said, if you prayed for me, I'd get healed. Long story short, she did. She got healed of Parkinson's, got a creative miracle. It was the first creative miracle I ever saw. It's the 23rd day of a 40-day fast that we could see a breakthrough for creative miracles. She pressed in. She had this strong faith that God had told her she'd get healed. I had a little girl in Uberlândia, Brazil, is 9 years old. Her pastor came to me and said, I brought this 9-year-old girl. She told me that if her parents wouldn't bring her, But she told me, her pastor, if I would bring her to your meeting night and if you got to pray for her, God was going to heal her. It was her faith, not my faith. She came with faith. She had great faith. I prayed for her. She had a kidney, the second kidney. The first one had been rejected. The second one was being rejected. And the pastor said, if this kidney's rejected, they will not put another kidney in this little 9-year-old girl. She's going to die. She came with great faith. It wasn't mine. It was hers. I prayed for her, and she has a tube coming out of the infection. She's running a fever that's hot here. It's red from the infection. It's rejecting. And I asked her, what's happening? And normally they would say, in Portuguese, calor, word for hot, heat. But she said, gelada, like, you know, a gelada ice cream, cold. She felt cold because God's presence was manifesting in the opposite. And that infection was being dealt with. And she felt coldness of God where that kidney was being rejected. And before that night was over, she already, her countenance has changed. Her energy levels has changed. And she did get healed because she had heard God correctly. And it was an amazing, amazing healing. Do it again, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless those that's standing, and I bless them. God, you said, pray for the people who'll stand up. So, God, these are the ones that's standing in this, and I bless them in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that you would come, and your power would flow through them. And, Lord, I just speak to them. Anything wrong with their blood for healing to come. God, we pray for miracles. We speak to blood. God, we've seen you heal hepatitis C before there was a cure for it. When there wasn't a cure, we saw you heal people and their blood was different. God, we've seen you heal people of other blood issues. So in Jesus' name, we bless the blood. Blood pressure that's too high, come down. Blood pressure's too low, go up. Normalize in Jesus' name. We just speak to any and every disorder of blood that it be healed. And we bless others who stood up for other reasons, but they've stood up because they believe that you've spoken to them. They believe they have strong faith. And I pray, God, manifest your healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before you sit down, check things out. And if you're beginning to sense God's touching you, and you're getting better, just put one hand in the air. You can and wave it. Thank you, God. 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 All right. We're almost done. I know I've gone longer than what I should, but I saved this one for last because I knew we had a little more time. Because I like this sermon. Our last story is in the 10th chapter of Mark. And to me, this is the greatest faith of all, even stronger than the woman's. See, the first man said, if you can do anything, take pity on us and heal us. The second man says, if you're willing, you can make us clean. The woman said, if I can touch him, I will be made clean. But this man can't even say that because he's blind and he can't find his way to Jesus to reach out to touch him. He's a blind man. His hope is that one day he'll be in the right place at the right time, that the presence of Jesus is going to come by where he's at, and he's going to have an opportunity to be in his presence and cry out to him. And this blind man called Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming by, and he begins to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He cries out all the more and all many, many times. And Jesus hears him. And Jesus sends a word by another disciple, like a word of knowledge, and said, he's calling you. And in the midst of it, he ends up getting to come, being brought to where Jesus is at. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Sound like a dumb question, but it's not. Last message I talked about in one night at Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a woman who's blind for 30 years got her sight, and another woman born deaf, a Nigerian woman, born deaf all her life, never heard a sound. Both of them got healed. When the Nigerian woman realized later, who had no skills because she had been deaf, she is now going to lose her disability payments because she's healed. She went deaf again because she had rather live with her deafness, because she understands that life with the disability and support. What would she do? She no training, no real schooling to speak of. And it was easier and less fearful for her. So what do you want me to do for you? It's not a dumb question to ask somebody who's may have been like this their whole life and they got to learn a skill or whatever. But the man was blind and he gets healed. We've seen a man with no optic nerve get healed. Saw a man who 50 years had been, or 55 years had been blind from the time he was a little boy, since he is five, because of a muriatic acid spill. And when you'd look in his eyes, all you would see, he was Hispanic, beautiful brown eyes should have been. You don't see any brown. All you see is white scar tissue. No pupils, no cornea, an eighth of an inch thick. He was healed. Not when I prayed, when a woman on my team that I don't even know her name, was an American. We have international teams, but she was an American. And she prayed for 5 hours for him, because every time she wanted to quit, because nothing was happening. And normally we would say, if nothing's happening, pray for somebody else. She kept hearing the Lord say, don't stop, keep praying. She went back to America, and 3 days later, I got the report from the pastor. I was in another city in Brazil, and told me about this greatest miracle of all, this man who had no pupils, no corneas, totally destroyed, nothing but scar tissue. He didn't get healed gradually either. The first day after we left, he's blind as can be. Second night, goes to bed blind as can be. But on the third morning when he woke up, he woke up with no scar tissue, new pupils, new corneas. And it was like, you give the Lord the hand. And so the pastor told me, this is in Goiânia, Brazil, Pastor Aloysio Silva at Videira Church, which is Portuguese for vineyard, which is, they were almost joined the vineyard that close. The pastor called me and said, Randy, he's at the hospital. They brought him down. The doctor said, because his records are there, 55 years of records. They had brought him down for the third time, and the doctors keep asking him the same question right out of John 9. Tell us again, how is it you can see? It was a creative miracle. Yes, we have seen God heal the blind. We've seen people get healed of all types of eye issues. So if you have an eye issue, go ahead and stand up. As you're standing, I want to encourage you, because another Baptist church in Mauá, Brazil, the one that had grown to 30,000, one night while we're there, a granddaughter brings her grandmother to the meeting. And she's leading her to the meeting because the grandmother was blind from an aneurysm in the brain that had caused her to go blind. And that night, somebody on the team, an unknown little old me, prayed. And the grandmother got her sight. I'm going to ask you to put your hands on your eyes. Now, if you have nothing wrong with your eyes, but you identify with this blind man, you've been crying out, and you're not going to stop crying out. Even when other people have come to you and told you, give up, don't get your hopes up, try to get you to quit praying, not quit believing, just throw in the towel, accept it, but you haven't. And you're just pressing in, crying out for your healing. You identify with that man. That's where your faith's at. Go ahead and stand up and join the others, regardless of what your problem may be. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless everyone who stood, and I speak to their physical bodies, and I speak to whether it's even or mental, whatever it may be, if it's a brain issue, if it's an emotional issue, if it's a physical issue, in Jesus' name, I bless them. And I speak to eyes, Lord, like the woman who had her eye almost lost, cut in half, and there was no pupil or cornea there, and it sunk way back, and she had a glass eye covering it, and we watched you begin to create in her eye. We were watching a cornea and pupil start forming. We pray for healing. Healing of detached retinas or complications from detached retinas. Healing of cornea issue, transplant issues in Jesus' name. God, we pray healing of cataracts, that you would melt them. We pray, God, whatever is the cause of the loss of vision, we pray for healing to come into the eyes. We pray that fire would come in the eyes. There'd be a creative power come in the eyes. And we pray, Lord, that vision would be improved in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we pray for others who stood up for other things. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Glorify the name of Jesus and reveal your presence in our midst and your compassion. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you sit down, check things out. If you can't read without your glasses, try. If you can't see at a distance without your glasses, try. If you feel like you have sand in your eyes, just see if the sand's gone. You know, whatever it may, if you see whatever it is, floaters, see if they're gone. We see if floaters disappear. Whatever it is, anybody who just stood, and many of you have already been seated, but if there's an improvement in your condition, I want you to just wave your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Several. Now before I turn the service back over to Pastor Glenn. I would like for everyone who stood up at any time in the service to just stand up one more time. And one more time, because for some of you, it's been almost an hour or 45 minutes or something like that since we started. See if there's been increased improvement in the healing in your body. And if any of you are, let's say, at least 80% better, I want you to wave your hands like this over your head, that God would get the glory. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, God. Now I'm curious, anybody, your eyesight is better. Wave both hands. Let's see if anybody's eyesight is better. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody that dealt with a skin issue that you can actually, man, my skin was itching, it's burning, it's, you know, whatever it is. Yes, thank you, God. Thank you for that. Thank you for that woman. Thank you for the two women there, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. About the blood issue, you probably have to have a blood test to know that's going to be hard to tell. Just real quick, anybody 100% better? Wave both hands over your head in the process of being healed. Anybody 100% yet? We had several that were 80% or more. Okay. All right. One testimony. You're very excited about what God did for you. You've had this for some time, and you've had significant healing. Who would that be? Anybody? Had it for some time. Come quickly. And as she's coming, I'd like to say this. There is something worse than being physically blind. It's being spiritually blinded to the grace of God. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never asked Him to forgive you, He stands ready to forgive you. And I pray, thank you, that the spiritual blindness would come off your eyes, and you'd be able to hear what I'm saying and see your own undoneness, lostness, and need of a Savior, and you'd be willing to give your life to Jesus because he's opened your eyes and you see the need, and you could come up. Come here, Casey. And just, Casey would be glad to pray for you. Tell us quickly what happened. I'll hold it for you.
Oh, thank you. On Friday night, actually, you were praying, and I was in several car accidents, and it was my neck. And it's been 4 years. It's everything's a problem, and it involves concussion issues as well. And I felt on Friday night that I was at least 80% better. I left, and I thought, no, I think I'm really healed. And all weekend long, I've been thinking, I'm not healed. Oh, my God, I'm really healed. I'm not healed. I'm really healed. So when you were speaking about the different levels of faith, I thought to myself, I'm in every one of those levels of faith, and it's really made me learn how important it is to dig into that higher level. I attribute that to why I've had to fight off thinking I have not been healed, but actually I think my neck is healed.
Because you feel the difference?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, good. 100%.
Good.
So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. 4 years of pain, 100% better. Thank you, God. Concussion, you have it. Are you about to cry? Because that's the kind of testimonies I like best, when they're about to cry.
Okay. 2000, the year 2000, I was diagnosed with abnormal blood. The first time I was told, actually, the doctor was trying to figure out what it was, because it's not sickle cell. And so he was trying to study the blood and figure out what it was. Well, that was before I had my kids. And I do feel the heat of God right now. But
did you hear what she said? She's feeling the heat, the healing anointing on her. She's testifying.
After that, I ignored it, and I just figured, you know, it's normal, you know, as a Kenyan to have abnormal blood cells. And I resolved I was just going to continue. And every year when I go for my physical, the doctors always puzzle about my blood, because it does not meet any criteria. And then recently the doctor sent me to an oncologist because they wanted it studied more. I didn't even want to tell Charles the details, because you know, he wouldn't understand more. I am more in medical than he is. And for 3 years now, every time I do my physical and they look at my blood and they want me to be analyzed by an oncologist. And I have heard and read about the blood, the lady in the Bible with the blood issue, that I've never thought that I could be healed. I never thought of it as a disease. But the way you explained it today, I just knew that this is it. This is it. It's an afflicting spirit. And I never thought of it as an afflicting spirit, and as I'm getting the revelation, and I realized my healing was here, and as I stood, I just could feel the power of God. And even though I have to go for blood analysis, I am believing, and I know this is God. So that's it.
And you mentioned you're in medical field.
I am an RN. I'm an RN.
You're an RN. Yeah. Amen. So thank you.
It all along.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes being in the medical field makes it harder.
Yes.
As far as faith sometimes. Yes. Well, thank you for coming and sharing. And please, never forget. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He was a healer, he is a healer, and he will be a healer. And when he comes the last time, any of us that's alive when he comes, everything that's wrong with us will instantly be healed and be given a glorified body. He was, he is, he will be. And the healings that happen now point to that day. In Jesus' name, Pastor Glenn.
Come on, let's just express our appreciation to Dr. Clark. Yeah, that's great. Dr. Randy, thank you so much for the ministry that you brought to us. I hope you'll come again to us. And would you like him to come again to minister to us? On the way out today, we have an opportunity to just bless Dr. Randy and the Global Awakening Ministry. There are offering plates on either side of the sanctuary doors. And I hope you'll drop an offering in and just bless them for the ministry that they have brought to us. I want to say that the greatest miracle of all, we shared about it last week, Jesus healed a paralyzed man, but he said, which is harder to say, your sins are forgiven, or take up your mat and walk? And of course, the immediate physical miracle seemed like the more difficult thing, but the greatest miracle God could do in any of our lives is to forgive our sins from the blood of Jesus. And I want to say, if you've come here today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, you've never asked him to forgive your sins, before you leave today, I want to invite you to come forward to the altar, and our prayer friends, some of our pastors and friends are going to be here to just pray with you and lead you in a prayer to accept Jesus into your heart. So, I don't know why, but there's a chorus of a Christmas carol that says, "Oh, come let us adore him." And I don't know why it's on my heart to sing it, but I want us to sing it together. If you know it, sing it with me. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ. Come on, would you sing, "For he alone is worthy"? For he alone worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. Christ. Come on, let's give him all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory, Christ. Come on, give him a good praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see him? You see him? This is my friend Frank, and Frank has a seer anointing, and he's just seeing Jesus right there. He's seeing him right over our altar. So bless you, dear Frank. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. He's here. We know he is.